to Flocking Amazing, the podcast all about deep and joyful learning from the team at BirdBrain Technologies. I'm your host, Sarah Fitzhenry, robot fairy godmother and all-around education enthusiast. BirdBrain is known for its groundbreaking technology for students, but this podcast is all about the grown-ups that guide and inspire them. And I love bringing grown-ups in that are in the classroom, in the weeds, like she's nodding right now, like really living it right now. And I am thrilled. This is my first time meeting this educator, and I'm so happy that she's here. We have a computer science teacher from California. Welcome, Sarah Jenkins.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, I'm very excited that you're here. Sarah and I met, I'm going to put that in quotation marks, but first connected, I believe, last summer during the Cultural Connections with Hummingbird class.
Right? That is correct. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. And I believe it was through Emphasis Foundation.
Yep. Mm-hmm. If you haven't taken any of Emphasis's free professional development, it is so great.
It is amazing because they give you free training and products and it just expands like your toolbox. It's pretty awesome.
And that was, you kind of pulled ahead of the group. It was a course that BirdBrain offered and we were doing a synchronous cohort moving through it. And Sarah, your joy was just like, you were so excited. And I was like, yeah, these projects are really great. I wonder what Sarah's doing this week.
Yeah.
Look at this project she made. Like this Disney themed project is so cool. Okay. We will get all into that. But first, tell us, Sarah, who are you and what is your teaching story?
Wow. Okay. So
open it up with the big question.
Yeah. I'm not just a computer science teacher because I've actually been teaching this is my 18th year and I started out in kindergarten. So I have a multiple subject credential and I taught 3 years of kindergarten, 9 years of first grade, and then about 7 years of fifth grade. And then I've been teaching computer science to seventh and eighth graders this is my second year. And it's been so amazing because in fifth grade, I really started playing around with coding and robots and building and making and like trying to figure out like, how does this all go together to make my teaching like more interesting and exciting and engaging for the students. And then I got the opportunity to apply for the computer science position, even though right now I'm still finishing up like my supplementary for it. Mm-hmm. So I don't like have all of the classes, but there were like, you are more qualified than anyone we've ever had. Yes, please apply. And so it's kind of like my dream job, like getting to actually just teach an elective. So I've really like gone full force into this program, like being able, they're so flexible and just trying out literally all the ideas I've ever wanted to do. So that's what you see on my Twitter. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, my brain is spinning that you started in kindergarten. Yeah. So kindergarten first, fifth, and now computer science, seventh and eighth. What a cool progression. Mm-hmm. So what I loved, I was a specials teacher. I was a school librarian. Okay. And seeing K through eight, I could like backwards design what I wanted my eighth graders to be able to do. And so think about what they needed to do in kindergarten. And you just know the whole scope so well.
It just feels really amazing because you can look at a project and really understand how you can tweak it for different age levels. Mm-hmm. And I don't think if you haven't like really dug in and taught those levels that you can see it the way that some of us who have can really like see that. And it's been really neat because I kind of grew up with my kids, like I changed as they've grown up and now my son's in middle school. And so it's like, I totally understand the progression because I've also been learning with them as a mom too. And it's just really cool.
Oh, yeah. That is really cool.
Yeah.
So I have to know, do you ever accidentally use your kindergarten voice with your middle schoolers?
Oh my gosh. I don't, it's a whole nother voice in middle school. I just have to say. The whole thing is so, have you taught middle school? Well, you said K-8. So
I love sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. I know not everybody does.
Very fun. It's very different. And yeah, it's, what's most interesting is like, you think when I went from fifth grade to middle school, I thought, oh, they're going to be like ready to go and like more mature and like, you know, focus. And I'm like, okay, that didn't really work out how I thought, but I'm so glad that I have taught all the age levels because I need all these little like tricks that I've used to continue using in middle school because the biggest hurdle, they don't want to act like something is like they are interested in anything. Mm. Like they actually, they don't want to be like, oh, this is like, I really want to go to your class to work on my project. Like they won't say that in front of anyone. Like it's not cool to really like anything that you're doing.
Yeah.
Like you have to get like get them hooked into something, but then like, I don't know. I can't really tell if you're interested. But I have my eighth grader sewing right now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Some sewing stuff that I didn't think I could get him to do. So I think that to me is part of it too. Like, what can I get this group of kids who aren't interested in anything or seemingly so to do if I just give them some stuff? So, yeah,
and what are they going to remember? Like I have some middle schoolers that I absolutely adore that are graduating this year. Well, I taught them as middle schoolers. They're graduating now. And when they see me, they're like, Miss Fitz, remember that thing that we did? I'm like, oh, I remember you being so nonplussed in the moment. And now here you are, so plussed.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for them to come back or to like hear things like that. Because you're like, I don't know. Like, I thought it was interesting at the time, like, but I wasn't sure. And then I just think like, oh, I'm the one who taught them to sew, or I showed them how to build something they had never built because they just didn't do that. And to me, that's everything. I mean, more than anything that I'm doing. Yeah.
And it might spark something. It might plant a seed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us about your journey from kindergarten and from kind of traditional education, I'm making quotation marks here, into technology and into creative robotics, because you do a lot of physical computing and robotics in your classes. So how did that happen?
Yeah. So once I moved to fifth grade, I like to tell the story because a lot of the fifth graders were so checked out. Like, you open a book and you answer questions. Like the way it was being taught was like very like, they read and they're kind of working on their own and there's not a lot going on. And I thought, I need to make this more interesting, engaging, like hands-on stuff, like projects. So I started looking at anything I could find. And the first program I really found was Scratch. That was like so easy. And like, I was like, oh, I'm just trying to make something on here, you know? And I'm like, wow, this is like really user-friendly. I was not a tech person. Like I was the person just like a lot of people are like, don't ask me a question about like how to turn on a computer. And now I'm like, I know so much more than like so many people. Like,
oh my gosh.
It's so weird just by starting to dive in and challenge myself. And so you're right about me like going full force into anything I do. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to spend hours just like coding a tiny little game. And you just become amazed with what you can figure out. And I thought, if I feel this way, what will my students feel? And I'm like, you know, in my 30s and they're only like, you know, 10, 11 or whatever. Think about the potential. Like if I had known that at their age. So I just started incorporating Scratch stuff. And then I found Wonder Robotics, actually, Wonder Workshop.
Yeah.
I started doing some of those robotics challenges with my fifth graders. We competed in the worldwide competition several times.
Oh, fun.
And so this is all relating to like computer science stuff, right? And the coding and the robotics. One thing I really like about the Wonder Workshop competition is the building and making part. So I realized like I've always been a crafter, but I didn't realize that I was a maker until I went to the Emphasis Foundation. Like I applied, I got a scholarship to go when they were in Rhode Island, I think, in the winter. And I took the Maker Educator Collective in-person workshop. And I was like, this is who I am. Like I make things.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that was the pivot point for me completely. And that was, I was probably 5 years into fifth grade, teaching fifth grade, you know, but of course teaching way before that. And I just realized, oh, there's like this whole thing that I didn't realize I could be part of and that I love. And it ties to education and it ties to my
interest. Yeah.
And it all ties together in this way. And so then I got really interested in the connection to STEM. And I have my master's in education with a STEM emphasis that I completed just a few years ago. And that was right before I got the computer science job. Because I was thinking like, I want to be a STEM specialist or, you know, like somebody who goes around and incorporate STEM and computer science things. So of course I have a lot of possibilities moving forward and lots of hopes and dreams for my future. And so I'm just excited to be on this podcast with you also just talking about these things, because I think that it's so important in just like any subject area. And that's really what got me going. I was like, we need to be doing this everywhere, not just in my classroom, because the other teachers are like, what the heck are you doing in there? And everybody like wanted to be in my classroom. They're like, that fifth grade, what are they doing in there? Like, they're making really cool like projects and things. And I'm like, it's just who I am. Like, I love it. You have to embrace the mess of it and the chaos of it.
Yeah.
But the results, so amazing. And so I realized that I want to help bring this to other people too, because I love it. And I wish somebody had come into my classroom. It's a pretty small district. So we're still like, we don't have a STEM specialist. We don't even have like a tech person who like integrating technology type of a thing into the curriculum. So I'm kind of helping out with that a little bit in my district.
I was gonna say, they kind of do. They have you.
I did get called the STEM expert at a meeting the other day. So I was like, ooh, you know.
That is accurate. Yeah. I think our listeners will all agree. Yeah. That is so true. As you're talking about possibly, you know, being a STEM specialist, helping to integrate STEM into curriculum, what advice would you give to teachers who are looking to start teaching with STEM, with physical computing, with creative robotics, who want to bring it into their classrooms?
So for someone looking to get into incorporating STEM and robotics and all kinds of fun things into their classroom, I think they should talk to other people around them who have kind of started to do that themselves. What I like to do is show other people what I'm doing and then kind of like invite them in. And I think the way you learn best is by going into someone else's classroom and working with them, or maybe just doing like a brainstorming session with them. One thing we talked about earlier was the emphasis online professional development that's like completely free. I have gotten, there's actually a ton of resources out there everywhere. And so I think just talking to people who have access to those resources will help you. But there's so much, if you are like me and you're just like on the internet, like looking for ideas all the time, they're out there. I think I really like Twitter. I mean, if you start following people who are doing these things in their classroom, like these ideas will pop up and you'll be like, wow, how do I do that? And there's usually people will share a lesson or a link. Mm-hmm. As far as coding, I really think, you know, doing Scratch is set up for so simply, and there's so many little tutorials, like anyone in elementary, that's my number one go-to for just starting out with coding, because you literally could all log in and just do a tutorial together. And I don't know, once you're hooked, you're hooked. I feel like once you start realizing that there's all these possibilities, then I don't know. I think if you realize you have that interest, you just keep diving deeper, digging deeper and discovering more.
And you're a real, I think, role model with that. You take the things that you are passionate and that you, the passionate about and that you love, and you make them into projects. And so the enthusiasm just pours out of your projects and out of your work. And even I think an eighth grader who's very determined not to be interested in anything, like middle schoolers are like moths to a flame when they find a teacher who's super passionate and who's very excited to be there. And they might like grumble about it, but you'll suddenly notice that they're like in your room a lot. Cause they, I think they really like being around people who make being an adult look fun.
Yeah. And that's absolutely like another just kind of life goal, is to enjoy life for myself personally. Like, you know, there was a time where I was like, I don't really like what I'm doing. Like, I don't like teaching. I really didn't for a while. And I was like, I can't do this. Like, how can I continue to do this? And so I just started realizing that, okay, I'm going to change how I'm looking at things. And every day I'm going to have fun at work. And if I'm having fun and I like what I'm doing, they're going to like what they're doing too, is what I figured out. Because I'm like, if I don't feel like teaching something this way or that way, or maybe I just throw out something, it's it's not going to ruin everything I have. It's going to make it like, oh, I'll find something else to do instead. And so I'm like, oh, I'm going to put in all these different things, still teach what I need to teach, but add in something else, something I love or that I know will be fun to do. And I'm constantly trying new stuff. And so like when someone's like, have you ever perfected that lesson? It's like, no, I don't ever perfect a lesson. I just
change such thing.
So I think that's hard for some people because I'm not linear. I'm just like all over the place. You know, for me, that's fun because I guess I get bored easily and I love the challenge. Can I make this work? And that's one of the things I loved about your product was I saw this whole like robot, you know, idea. And I thought, wait a minute, I've done some stuff with microbits and I've, you know, done this and some builds, but I haven't figured out how to put it all together. Not very well yet, at least, you know? And so then when I took the training, I was like, whoa, I could make a robot in like a week or whatever. Like, it was like this really cool moment when I realized, oh my gosh, I have all the skills and this seems easy to me. That was so weird. Because I'm like, how could this be me? Like, and then I just had fun making it.
And the best feeling, because all of a sudden you're like, I didn't know I could do that. Yeah. I had no idea I was a programmer. I was a maker. I could sew, I could build. Yep. And the confidence that you get from that. And it's like, well, what can I do next?
Exactly. And to be able to do that with the students, I'm actually using the Hummingbird robotics kit with my girls who code right now, because I do a lunch club. I know, it's really awesome. And so I have a girl working on, she's making a robotic sheep. And we're presenting at the board meeting next week, actually. And I get to bring some of my computer science students and show them what they're doing in my classroom. So.
Oh, that's so cool. Really, we'll have to have you back on and you can tell us about how that went.
Yeah. I'm excited. Yeah.
Can you share a challenging moment and a rewarding moment from your classroom, maybe from this journey into tech? And I cannot believe that you're only in your second year in this position because you talk like you have been doing it for so long, but maybe about that transition, about this new role.
Yeah. Well, walking into, you know, middle school and the change and the schedule and all that stuff. And I thought, you know, like, what am I doing? And I walked into the computer lab and it was like so old and nobody liked computer science at the school. And they had all these really old like desktops that they didn't all work. And so I was like, okay, I don't want any of these desktops, like get rid of all of them. So this was kind of like, am I going to actually say this or not, you know, because they have Chromebooks. And then I just realized, even though the only reason I bring this up is it was kind of challenging in my mind when I stepped into that role, like, how much am I going to own this? Like,
oh yeah, that sounds very challenging.
Right. But I'm like, I need area to build. Mm-hmm. I need these counters cleared.
Yeah.
And the people are looking at me like, you want the computers removed? And I'm like, absolutely. I only want to teach students on apps that they can access 24/7, like on their Chromebook. I don't want to give them a skill that they have to pay for or, you know, won't benefit them or they can't work on at home if they get really into it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so totally able to justify my thinking. So it makes sense, but I was also so scared, you know, and the kids came in and they're like, what? There's no computers in here? And so kind of, you know, winning over the students and getting them to realize, you know, like, oh yeah, we're going to do some really awesome things in here and you actually don't need a desktop, you know? So that was pretty interesting. And then, gosh, I've had actually a lot of great moments and I guess that's really awesome and rewarding actually, but just like seeing some of the stuff we've been able to make and accomplish. And I did like some robot battles with the students using microbits, and they used one of the microbits was the controller and the other one, like, you know, move the robot, and they had a battle and they had to like push him out of the loop or whatever.
Ooh, like a sumo wrestling battle.
It was like, you're over the line. Okay, you're out. You know, we did a whole bracket system and everything. But the fact that I just get to play with these students, you know, I'm just like, do like, okay, you know, we're making things today, like got to have the hot glue guns like plugged in and like, you know, like you see kids building things that you now never, sometimes they sit with their head down and they do nothing else all day. That's really rewarding.
It's their place. You're bringing them to life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you just named so many rewarding things. That answer like filled my bucket. If oh, you, good. You know that book, you're a kindergarten teacher, but.
Yeah. Oh, I totally know that. Yeah. You still have like kids on the wall that you.
Oh
like,
yeah. You put the little pieces of paper in. Yeah.
I know.
Your job sounds so fun. I love hearing about how you play and your excitement for what you're teaching. So I'm interested to hear how you answer this next question. Okay. This is my favorite one. What makes you a flocking, amazing educator?
Ooh, that I love what I do, that I come to work every day excited and like looking for new ideas. Cause I think when you know, we've all seen teachers who it's like, they don't want to be there, or they're just kind of doing what they're like on this. I don't know. They've done this for a while, so they're not trying anything new. And mm-hmm. I'm not like that. Like, I'm always like, I'm going to change it up. Like, we're always going to do something new and interesting and trying to make things relevant for the kids.
Yeah.
The other thing that I would say makes me amazing is that I'm really passionate about, you know, diversity in computer science and getting girls into STEM. And I'm taking a class through UC Berkeley right now in the Kapoor Center that is like all about diversity and computer science and learning how to, I know it's really awesome. And everything I'm learning in there is telling me that I'm doing things right. Helping the kid get like their ideas, their histories, their, you know, culture into these lessons by making it so creative, like mm-hmm. and giving them flexibility for the things that they create. Helps them identify who they are and also share it with other people. And those are like the two things that diversity is all about, like embracing it is like understanding yourself and then sharing that with other people. And I love that. And I love that I get to do that.
And the fact that you're doing that through computer science, because increasing that sense of belonging at school is amazing. That's what helps kids to really dive in and to find their passions and to feel safe to make mistakes and risks. But to do that while showing them that it's computer science is this creative problem-solving tool and they're finding their identity and realizing they have these skills they didn't know. Yeah. I mean, that's diversity and empowerment. And I mean, just setting these students up to be so successful in whatever they do next.
Yeah. There's so much that's out there for them now. And if I can be that person who's like, hey, I'm going to give you some basic skills. Like I always tell them that, but you can build any career like on these skills, any interest that you guys are the generation, like right now that computer science is just booming, booming, booming. Like you should be, you know, listening and applying this because it's all around you. And we need people and we need really diverse people to help solve some of these issues that we have that are coming up in tech. Mm-hmm. And so I tell them that too, like, you guys are the ones we need, you know, we need you to do this. And there's supports out there and there's scholarships and there's people who want to help you. And yeah, it feels pretty awesome. I can't wait. Like you said, when students come back to you, like, we'll see. I mean, that's when you really know, like, oh, wow, look at what that kid did, you know?
Yeah. You're planting the seeds now that won't, you know, they'll be growing, but you won't really get to see the flowers for years and years and years, but you're setting them up to take their seat at the table. And that's something that's so necessary. And I mean, that's what Bird Brain is all about. That's why we were founded. The Hummingbird Kit was created because there is a huge gender gap in technology, and working with craft materials and recycled materials is designed to help kids kind of get over that imposter syndrome, get over that I don't belong here, and say, I can do this. I can make this. I'm a crafter and I'm a roboticist. I love to sew and I love to program.
And that's why I love everything that your company really, you know, embraces. And also like the product itself, the Hummingbird Robotics Kit. And like when I took the professional development, I'm like, wow, they have it right on, because everything I've ever learned is like, there's a lot, the way to get girls and women into this field is to help them feel like they can create more. I mean, even when I was doing, interviewing my girls who code for something I was doing, I was asking them And even some of the girls in my class, they're like, we didn't realize when we were like crafting and making things that this would be what computer science was about. It's just exactly like trying to get them to switch how they envision it. And that's mm-hmm. what your product does. And a lot of the products I work with, because I was that person who didn't think that I didn't think I was smart. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I was capable. And there's no way that I was going to be like a tech person. Mm-hmm. And then I realized like, wait a minute, you have all this potential, just like all these students do, but they're not letting themselves see them as capable or like identify as someone who does that. And so like all of the reasons, you know, all the research behind everything says, get them involved, get them making, get them trying, like somehow like connecting to it, like yeah. even their interests. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow. You know, I can do this and I'm part of this. And it's just been amazing to see what some of the students create. It really is.
Oh, once they realize they can and they are yeah. off and running and the stuff that they make is incredible.
Yeah.
And Sarah, you do a great job sharing your students' projects and sharing the things that they make. Yeah. So would it be okay with you? Can I share your Twitter so people oh, can follow you and connect with you if they have any questions, if they want to tell you how flocking amazing you are, if they want to see what your students are making. So I will link Sarah's totally, yeah. Twitter and okay. you can get in touch with her and see the stuff yeah. that she's creating. Oh my That'd goodness, Sarah, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Is there anything else you want our listeners to know before we wrap up?
I don't think so. I just really appreciate you selecting me, you know, and inviting me to do this interview. And I do really love your product. I wish I could have more, to be honest. Like, and I think if you haven't tried it, you know, definitely sign up for the free PD. I think it's being offered again this summer, isn't it?
We've got some good stuff coming up on Infosys okay. this summer. Yes. And we okay. have lots of free PD on our website as well if you can't do awesome. It this summer. But yeah. folks, I didn't even pay her to say that. I didn't even ask her to say that. Sarah, you are just, do you want my job? Like, you want to come work with us? Thank you, Sarah. Listeners, thank you for joining us for Flocking Amazing, the podcast for quick bite-sized conversations with real teachers, sharing their real expertise and providing real inspiration to us all. We'll have a new teacher conversation drop soon, so don't flocking miss it.